I always love Sunday morning, praise God. God loves it when His kids come into His house to celebrate Him, amen? Well, praise God. My name is Alan Duke, for any of you that don't know me, and this is my wife, Melissa, right here, amen? Praise God. We just celebrated this past Tuesday, 36 years together, amen? Praise God. I'm so blessed, because of her influence in my life, I'm not a bad guy to be around now, amen? Amen. And we have two boys. And they're both grown now and married and paying their own bills. What freedom that is. Amen. And we also have a two-year-old grandbaby that we don't like to talk about very much. So, amen. But praise God. We're just we're so thankful for our connection with this church family. Some of you may know that Pastor Mark's dad, Frank, married us. Yeah. And he and Sister Pat were very instrumental in planting the Word in our lives. When we were a young married couple and didn't know anything about anything. And that Word they planted in us is still bearing fruit today. Amen. Praise God. And we're so thankful for their influence in our lives. Amen. They're part of our spiritual legacy. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for a good church? Yes. Well, you can come and hear the Word and worship God in freedom and liberty. You know, David prophesied of our day when he said, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." And he was speaking of the church. Amen. What a beautiful situation. Yes. Amen. What a beautiful situation we're in. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about coming into Mount Zion, the city of God, unto the church of the firstborn. That's us. That's us he's talking about. Anytime you see the word Zion, he's speaking of the church. That's the Mount of Grace. Amen. And it is a beautiful situation. Now you might say, my situation is not so beautiful. But if you're part of the church, it's a beautiful situation. Okay. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, I heard a story one time about a man who was on a deserted island. He'd been there for 5 years. Kind of like the movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway. Yeah. And when he was rescued, the people that rescued him, they asked him, "How long have you been here?" And he said, "Well, I've been here for 5 years." And they said, "Well, what are these structures here that you built?" And he said, "Well, this one's my house." And they said, "Okay, what about this one?" He said, "Well, this one's my church." And they said, "What about this one over here?" And he said, "Well, that's the church I used to go to." So everybody's looking for a good church, amen? And I believe we found a good church right here. Praise God. Amen. And you know, he's taken us higher this year. There's been so many good things spoken over us. You know, Sister Mary Fran, just a couple of weeks, prophesied things upon us. That's going to release potential in our lives. Not only the body as a whole, but individuals. And it's going to bear fruit for time to come. And we're going to see it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. This is the greatest time in history to be alive. Amen. As part of the church. Praise God. Amen. We're also so thankful for Mark and Jennifer. Now, they're on a little deserted island called Maui right now. So, and we're so happy that they're getting to do that. But you know what? Over the past few years, I've gotten to know them. And I've got to know their heart. Praise God. Melissa and I have got to pray with them and spend time with them. And we've never seen anything in them except the desire to help God's people grow and develop and fulfill the call of God on their life and to reach their full potential. I tell you what I've not heard not one time is how they can try to take something from somebody, but to give of themselves. You know, that's the heart of Jesus. You know, you can't love people like that without loving Jesus. He told Peter, he said, "If you love me, you're going to feed my people and you're going to take care of them." Yeah. That's the spirit of Jesus Christ I see in this place. Amen. Now, he paid me very little to say that, okay? Amen. Praise God. And it's okay to shout this morning now. Yeah. It's okay to shout. You know, David said, "Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph." Amen. God's people ought to shout. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You know, when God told His people to go in the promised land, He said, "I've given you the land, and it's a land of prosperity." You know, He didn't say one word about giants or walled cities that had to be overcome. You know what He called it? In the book of Hebrews, He called that rest. Overcoming giants and defeating walled cities, He called it rest. He said they wouldn't enter in because of unbelief, but we can enter in because we know that the city has been given to us. The land has been given to us. He told them, "You just go there and walk around and shout. Rest and shout." Praise God. Sometimes you just have to walk around that problem and look at it and shout at it. Debt, you're under my feet. Sickness, you're under my feet. You'll not overcome me. I'm walking out of this and I'm going over. I'm not going under. Praise God. And we can shout, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Because we know it already belongs to us, right? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, let's pray for Mark and Jennifer. Just bless them right now on their journey. Lord, we just pray for Mark and Jennifer today. Lord, we pray they'll have the best time they've ever had in their life. They'll come back strong and refreshed and ready with new vision and fire in their hearts. Praise God. Fire shut up in their bones for the call of God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for them. We thank you that their journey will be safe and blessed. And Lord, today as we approach your word, we thank you so much for light and revelation. Oh, thank you, Lord, you're taking us higher today. We're not going to leave the same. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, we can influence things through prayer. You know, if you've never been on our Saturday morning prayer times, come and join us. Even if you can only come a couple times a month, it'll bless you. Amen. Because prayer can influence things. You know, I believe that the Apostle Paul was probably on the cutting edge of what God was doing in his day. And he said this to the church at Philippi. He said, my deliverance will come through prayer and a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's an unlimited supply. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here today. And we just finished up a class on Bible and Biscuits. I love that name, by the way. It's so cool. We talked about acknowledging God and encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And it just seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost to just kind of continue on that today and build on it. Expound upon a few more things. And we can't certainly cover everything we did. But I believe the Lord's impressed me to cover a few things and to emphasize a few things. So let's turn in our Bibles today to Proverbs chapter 3. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And he says this. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. You know, sometimes the Lord's just impressed me when I'm facing something that I don't know what to do. Just, do you trust me? Do you trust me?
Yes.
I remember one time I was in a situation where I was sort of stuck in life. You know, stuck stinks. Nothing was really bad going on, but just kind of stuck. And I remember Melissa and I were in Savannah, Georgia, and I was in the workout room on the elliptical, just exercising it out. And I was just asking the Lord, Lord, I just don't understand. What is going on here? And it was almost like someone on the elliptical next to me said, when did I ask you to understand everything that's going on with you? I ask you to trust me. Trust me with all your heart. And don't try to figure it out in your own head. Praise God. And he says here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. All our ways. All our ways. You know, not everything we do is necessarily directly Spirit-led from God. You know, God doesn't tell me what time to be at church. Chad does. The Lord doesn't necessarily tell me everything I need to do in my everyday life. My wife does. But in the middle of those things, you know, the Lord doesn't tell you what time to go to work or what you're supposed to do during the day necessarily. But in the middle of those things, you can acknowledge Him and He'll direct you. You can be Spirit-led right in the middle of the things that you can't necessarily control. Praise God. Now, the other verse we looked at was Philemon, just one chapter, verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What an awesome verse, man. You can just read that and go home and be blessed. Amen. That the communication of thy faith. You know, faith has to be communicated. Faith has to be spoken and communicated to yourself, to one another. That's why these services are so important, to communicate to one another. You've got to communicate it to the devil. Praise God. And that's part of acknowledging the Lord and part of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Now, Melissa and I first got stirred up about this a few years back. We heard a minister that we greatly respect just teaching a simple message about acknowledging the Lord. Just acknowledge Him in all your ways. And we just began to practice that. When a problem would arise, when we wouldn't know what to do, we just say, Lord, we acknowledge you. And you know, there's no magic phrase in just saying the words, Lord, I acknowledge you, unless you're releasing your faith in Him, your trust in Him. You're just saying, Lord, I trust you with all my heart. I don't really know in my brain what's going on right now, but I trust you. And you're going to put me over. Praise God. And you know, I mentioned that, you know, where I was stuck in life. You know, sometimes when we hear the word preached and people are talking about problems, many times we hear it from the standpoint of the worst case scenario. They're about to turn the lights off. You're drowning in debt, or you're something's terrible going in life. The wheels are running off, like we say. But you know, you can be stuck in good. Amen. You can be in a place of good and stuck. You know, when I mentioned that about being in Savannah, things were going good. We weren't missing any meals, or we could, you know, the bills were paid, but we knew that Lord had more for us.
Yes. That's right. Come on.
And we can get complacent and be stuck in good. Yes. When there's great ahead of us.
That's right.
He wants to take us from good to great. Praise God. And I believe there are many people in this room today that things are good and you're comfortable, but there's more for us. There's a higher level for us. Praise God. You know, we've been talking about going across thresholds. And we mention this a lot in some of our prayer services, that in the book of Revelation, John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Jesus said some things to him. And all of a sudden he looked and he saw a door in heaven. And it said, come up hither. And he said, immediately I was in the Spirit. He went from one place in the Spirit to a new place in the Spirit. It was a higher place. And he crossed the threshold. Amen. So he can take us from good to great. So if you're stuck in good today, start acknowledging the Lord about great. Amen. And so Melissa and I began to practice this in everything we encountered, big things or little things. And I'll give you a couple of personal testimonies. This is just a little, this is a tiny thing, okay? But this is how much our Father loves us. He cares about every little thing that's going on in your life. Don't let religion give you the idea that God is too busy for the little things. He cares about everything. So here, a few months back, many of y'all have seen these little rings. They call them qualos, little rubber rings that people wear in case, and instead of their wedding ring. And I bought one because they're good to have if you work with your hands or play golf or whatever. And they're not metal, so they won't. They're just rubber. They won't cut your hand. And so one day, I was wearing that ring, and I walked on. I came in the bedroom, and I took it off, and I dropped it. It hit the floor and disappeared, just into thin air. And of course, I had my phone out with my flashlight, and I'm crawling on the bed, and I'm looking everywhere in the world. Couldn't find it. And so we had been practicing this, and I said, Lord, I acknowledge you. Now, I could have bought another one. They don't cost very much money. I could have bought another one. But I thought, you know what? The Lord cares about that. He cares about me, so He wants me to help me find that.
That's right.
So I just began to acknowledge Him. I didn't find it. Every time I came into my bedroom and thought about that ring, I'd say, Lord, I acknowledge you. You're going to bring that back to me. 2 or 3 months went by. And I still can't find that ring. And I'm looking, and every time I think about it, Melissa and I will be tearing stuff apart and looking for it. I said, you know what? That bothers me that I can't find that, because I know it dropped right at my feet. So anyway, one day, I walked in the bedroom, and all of a sudden it came up in my spirit. Y'all seen these little cubes that you store stuff in, right, about this long? I have one in my chest that I store T-shirts and work clothes in and stuff like that, and it just rose up in my spirit. Look in that cube. I thought, that thing is not in that cube. It hit the floor. So I start pulling things out of it, and sitting in the very middle of that cube on the bottom was that ring.
Yeah.
And see, that's what happens when you begin to acknowledge the Lord in these areas, that He'll quicken something to your spirit. Something will rise up in your heart. It may be a verse of Scripture. It may be check this, or it may be do this. It may be say this. But He'll quicken something in your heart. Praise God. Amen. Another thing that happened was our son is a police officer. And he's been a police officer for 5 years. And we're very proud of him. But, you know, it wouldn't have been my first choice for him to do that. You can imagine as a parent. But we knew it was a calling on his life, and he took it that way. So we were not going to stand in the way of his calling. And as my wife will tell you, she had a little conversation with Jesus about that. So, but anytime we thought about him and his situation, we would just acknowledge the Lord and speak out words over him of safety and protection and favor. And God has blessed him. After just 2 years on the force, he was promoted to a task force. And that got him off patrol and working 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, day shift. Amen. But we knew there was more for it. So we just continue to acknowledge the Lord about that. And every time we think about it, we would just speak words over Him. And so about, I would say 6 months ago, the new chief decided to disband the task force. And so he went back to patrol. He had an opportunity to work on another task force. that would have been a bigger deal, but he has a small child. And so, you know, he said, you know, I really want to spend more time with my wife and my family. And this particular task force was on call a lot, and they were always working. He said, I really don't want to do that. And we were very happy that he made that decision. As a matter of fact, the young man who was shot, the Birmingham police officer that was shot here a while back, was on that task force. And he's home now and recovering, but we knew him, and my son knew him. So here about 6 months ago, he applied for detective and didn't hear anything. But we just began to continue to acknowledge the Lord. And about a month ago, he got a call and said, Monday morning, you come downtown, you're now a detective in Crimes Against Property Division. And that's just one thing, but that was a big deal to us, because now he's no longer in West Precinct on patrol. Amen. And we've had so many good things happen like that. So when we say acknowledge the Lord, we're talking about different things here. It could mean many things to many people, but when you acknowledge the Lord, you know that word acknowledge is the word know, to know. It's the same word in the book of Genesis is translated, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. It's an intimate term. You know, we know him. We know him.
That's right.
We know him, praise God. He's our Father. And he lives in us, and we know him. Praise God. Another word means to accept. You know, we have to accept what the Lord says about us, whether we feel like it or whether we don't. And there's going to be so many times you don't feel like it. So many times you don't feel like it. We have to accept what he says about us. Another word is just to recognize. Recognize him. You know, sometimes the Lord's working. That's why I love that song, Wendy. He's working where you can't see him. He's working when you can't feel him. You may not have any physical evidence of it, but he's working. Because the kingdom works like a seed, and many times you can't see that seed working, but it's working. And you have to recognize that and be aware of it. Praise God. Another meaning is just to express gratitude. Be thankful. Just be thankful. Amen. You know, sometimes people receive answers to prayer and they don't even recognize it was God that did it for them. I heard this brother who had taught this message was talking about his wife was a physical therapist, and she prayed for a lady in a nursing home, and she was in a tremendous amount of pain. And so she prayed for her, laid hands on her, and the pain went away. And then she came back to see her the next week and said, you know what, the pain's gone. I don't know what happened. She totally forgot the Lord did it for her. Now that's an extreme case, but sometimes we don't just realize that even in the smallest things that happen. You know, Sister Mary Fran talked about it. We don't know what he's protected us from.
Exactly.
We don't know. And we have to put a lot of faith in the keeping power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, another meaning of the word just acknowledge, this is my favorite. It's to declare or state emphatically. It's to boldly proclaim.
That's right.
It's to show or express a strong belief. And this is my absolute favorite, to make no bones about it. Now, we know what that means here in Alabama. When it comes to the good things that he's put in our heart, we make no bones about it. We declare it emphatically. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1 says this. Y'all stirred up this morning? Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this in verse 12. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. You know, we got to be put in remembrance of these things. He says, even though you know them. You know, sometimes we can think we know stuff and we just mentally agree into it. But we have to stir it up in our hearts, praise God. And he says this, and I love this part, and said, being established in the present truth. What he's saying right now. That word present truth just jumped out at me based on, again, what Sister Mary Fran said about that God is wanting to speak some things to us with a new voice. You know, we may hear some truth that is established, but we'll see new light on it. We'll see new revelation. What's he emphasizing to us right now in this day and time? What's he speaking to your heart today? Praise God. He said, I think it meet or necessary as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what we're doing today. There's a lot of things you're going to hear today you might have already heard or known or seen before, but we're stirring ourselves up by putting ourselves in remembrance. We have to remind ourselves, you know, whether things are good or whether things, the wheels are truly running off of what he's put in us. And we have to communicate it. Amen. Paul said that's the way you stay full of the Spirit, by speaking to yourself. Amen. You got to talk these things and communicate these things. Praise God. This is encouraging ourselves. Now, as I was kind of studying for this, I was just doing my devotional reading. I read Acts chapter 1, and this verse just jumped out at me. Verse we all know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, we ought to acknowledge the power that's on us. Praise God. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. He's given us a spirit of power. That's the spirit of faith. If it's not a spirit of fear, then it's faith. And that spirit is power, it's love, and it's a sound mind. Now, both of those words, power, in Acts 1 and Second Timothy 1, 7 is the word dunamis. And those of us that are good Bible students that attended Karis Bible College, Cynthia, we know what that word means, don't we? Amen. Dunamis. It's strength and power and ability. And today I think, like I said, we need to acknowledge the power that's in us.
That's right. Come on.
Praise God. There's a spirit of power in us. And for those of us that have been filled with the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, there's a power on us. Now, if you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, there'll be prayer ministers up here that can assist us. We don't have time to teach on that today. But there's a power that came upon us when we received the Spirit. Amen. And it's that word dunamis means strength. You know, we receive strength from the Holy Ghost. We receive strength from Him. We're not just like any other people. There's a strength in us and there's a strength upon us that'll put us over. Now, David did this. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, we heard Brother Rob Rufus talk about in the Grace Conference about encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And because we encourage ourselves in the Lord, it gives us the strength and ability to encourage others. That's why we need each other. You know, we need joy helpers and peace helpers and encouragers. Amen. If you ever need one, you call me or Melissa and we'll preach to you. We'll remind you of what's in you by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But David, just to summarize what happened there, is David and his army, they came home from battle, and everything they had was burned and destroyed, and all their wives and their children had been kidnapped. Now, they didn't know they were... The Bible says they were just taken, they didn't kill them, but they didn't know that. They didn't have Facebook, or they didn't leave them a note that said, we didn't kill your kids. All they saw was their homes were burned, and everybody's gone. And it says they wept until they could not weep anymore. And that included David. He cried till he couldn't cry anymore. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, it wasn't his fault. Why are they going to stone him? But you know what I found out? If you're in leadership of any position, sooner or later, people are going to blame you for the problems. any of you ever experienced that before? It said, but right in the middle of that, now David had been crying. It says David was greatly distressed. Everybody's blaming him. It's all your fault, David, that everything's going wrong. But it said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Yeah.
David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. And that word encourage, one of the means is strengthened. David strengthened himself. He said in verse 7, he said, bring me the ephod, which is his priestly garment. And it said, and David, in verse 8, inquired or acknowledged at the Lord. He acknowledged the Lord. He inquired of Him, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And the Lord said, yeah, go get them. Go get your people back. Amen. This is how David strengthened himself. You know, it doesn't take much to encourage yourself in the Lord. It doesn't take much at all. If you look at Psalm chapter 18, verse 1, the Psalms is full of times when David was discouraged, he was depressed, he was surrounded by enemies. Everything bad that could possibly happen was happening, but he would say this, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, I don't take much of that right there to get something stirring on the inside of you. He says, I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So shall you be saved from that debt. So shall you be saved from that sickness or that family situation that you're dealing with. I'll call upon the Lord and He'll save me. And that's the way we acknowledge ourselves. Acknowledge the Lord and encourage ourselves in the Lord. It said David strengthened himself We all know the verse that says, let the weak say, I'm strong. That indicates that you're feeling weak. You're probably not going to need to say that all the time. When you get up in the morning, you're feeling great, and the sun's shining, and you're whistling and singing. It's the time when weakness comes upon you that you got to say, I'm strong. I'm strong. Praise the Lord. We accept it. We give thanks for it. And we make no bones about it. We're strong in the Lord. I'm going to read you a couple of verses from the Psalms where David talked about this. You want to get stirred up? Just pull these, some of these verses out. There's a bunch of them. Just do a little Bible search in Bible Gateway of the word strong or strength. And you'll get a bunch of them. But David said this in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Say that with me. The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
He's my light and my salvation.
He's my light and my salvation.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
This one is one of my favorites. Psalm 71:16. He says this, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go. When you don't know what to do, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. When you don't have the money, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. When you're feeling bad and you haven't had enough sleep, but you know you got to go, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And the second half of that verse I love is, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So I'm not going to talk about my righteousness. I'm not going to look at me. So that's what this whole thing about encouraging ourselves in the Lord and acknowledging Him is, turning yourself away from all that over there and looking to Him. He's the one that'll put me over. So righteousness and strength are tied together. You know, it's the strong spirit of a man that'll put him over. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Trouble of any kind. Doesn't have to necessarily be everything's terrible, but what if you just have a little trouble over here with a relationship or a little trouble at work? The strong spirit of a man will sustain you and put you over in that. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Psalm 84:7 says this, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion. And we know Zion is the mountain of grace, the church. They go from strength to strength. Other translations say they will grow constantly in strength. You know, I love to say that. I love to get up in the mornings and say, I'm going from strength to strength today.
Amen.
I'm going from strength to strength. I'm going to grow constantly in strength all day. Other translations said, with every step forward, they grow stronger. Praise the Lord. All of us have experienced when you get up in the morning, you're just not at your best. That's the time to say. Many times, Melissa and I will get up first thing in the morning and say, today, we're expecting our greatest harvest and blessing ever. Because the grace of God's upon us, and He's made us strong, and He's putting us over today. Because you know what? Somebody lives in you besides you. There is somebody living in you besides just you. There's a greater one that's in you. And that greater one will rise up in you, and He'll put you over. He'll give illumination to your mind and direction to your spirit, and He'll put you over. He's in there, praise God. Amen. This is one that I shared in the class, and also I think I mentioned this one on a Wednesday night. This is Psalm 92 from the Message, and this is one that fires me up. Psalm 92, verse 10 from the Message, but you've made me as strong as a charging bison. Oh, how about that one, Wendy? Me and Wendy were talking about it at the conference not too long ago. You've made me as strong as a charging bison. Now, if any of you have ever been around an American buffalo, they're pretty big. I don't like to get near one of them when they're asleep, much less charging at me. But he said, I've made you as strong as a charging bison. You've honored me with a festive parade. He said, good people, that's me. You know, God is good. God lives in me. That makes me good. Good people, that's me. Will prosper like palm trees and grow tall like Lebanon cedars. They'll grow tall in the presence of God. Strong to a marked degree, even in their old age. Praise God. Even in their old age. Whenever I'm speaking these things, I like to tag this on the end of it. I just turned 57 this year. I like to say, you know what? I'm going to be strong like that when I'm 60. And when I'm 65. And when I'm 70. And 75. And 80. And 85 and 90 and beyond. Praise God. I'm going to keep, there you go, God. I'm going to keep growing stronger and stronger as I go. Because the world expects you to get more decrepit as you get older. Not me. Amen. Praise God. The Passion Translation of the same verse says, your anointing has made me strong and mighty. The anointing of God. That thing that came upon you when you received the Holy Ghost makes you strong and mighty. We have to talk this way. See, this is the language of a new creature. We don't talk like the rest of the world. We talk like a new creature. We think like a new creature. We act like a new creature. Praise God. He says, you've made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. Oh, can you receive some fresh oil this morning? Hallelujah. He said, you've transplanted me into your heavenly courtyard where I'm thriving before you. See, we got to talk thriving and increase. I'm not going to decrease at any age. I'm going to thrive and grow stronger. It says this, I love this. In your presence, they'll overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they'll stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. And he says this, you're so good, you're my beautiful strength. You're my beautiful strength. Now, young people, you need to start talking this now. Because I'm telling you, 30 years went by. 40 years goes by. Yesterday, my kids were this little. Now they're grown men. And Isaiah says, even the youths are going to fail. So he's not talking about natural strength here. Even if you're young, sooner or later, that's going to fail. This is supernatural strength that comes from the power of God that resides upon us. Praise God. It said in Deuteronomy 34 that Moses, when he was 120 years old, when he died. Now, I love this. My wife says this all the time. Moses climbed a mountain to go to his own funeral. That's how strong he was. He climbed a mountain to go to his own funeral. That's pretty strong. Amen. And it said, of course, we know his eyesight never became poor and he never lost physical strength. Other translations say he was as strong as ever. I love to say that. I'm as strong as ever. We need to put that in our mouth and say it. I'm as strong as ever. Other translations said he still walked with a spring in his step. Even when he was old, he walked with a spring in his step. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, when we begin to study along this line and acknowledge this, see, this is just part of acknowledging God, what He's done for us. He, you know, I was dealing with some physical things. I've been healthy all my life and never taken any medication, but a year or so ago, I started dealing with something that I didn't like. You know, when your body hurts, you don't like it. And nothing fun about it. And as I was acknowledging the Lord over this, I said, Lord, I don't like feeling that way. He said, well, how would you like to feel? I'm like, I would like to feel good. Then that's what you say. So Melissa and I started saying, I feel good all the time. I feel young and strong all the time. And you know what? With rare exception, I feel good all the time. I feel young and strong all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. He increases strength and gives us fresh strength. So I'm going to back up back here where we were. That's just a side note there. Amen. Praise God. Strong. Strong. Amen. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Proverbs 12:18. You know, you can say things that will rip holes in your life like Swiss cheese. But, he says, the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Well, if the tongue of the wise is health, then the tongue of the wise is strength. So if I'm wise, I'm going to talk strength. Well, the tongue of the wise is health and strength. It can also be abundance and increase. It can be happiness and health, joy and peace. We have to talk these things, praise God. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but there is that speaketh like a child of God. I'm going to be like one that speaks like a child of God. And this is acknowledging all the good things He put us in us in Christ Jesus. You know, Melissa and I have always talked health. Now, we've been together this past August 40 years, dating and married and everything, and we're not stupid. We know each other very well. And we know when the other one's not at our best, but we didn't talk about it. All these years, we didn't make a big deal out of it. If something was going on, we'd lay hands on each other, we'd pray for each other, we'd agree with each other. We just didn't go around talking about, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I have a relative that was injured in kind of a crazy accident and broke their ankle, and every time I'd be around her, she'd just go, I'm so exhausted. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. And I tried my best to talk her out of it, but the Lord got my attention and said, She's enforcing that in her life. But you know what? You can enforce strength. So I started going around saying, I'm so energetic. I'm so healthy. I'm so full of life. I'm so full of strength. Praise God. Whatever we're dealing with, Melissa and I just put our words on it. We put our words on it. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Very familiar scripture to all of us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. As I was studying this verse out one day, the Lord just impressed me to look up that word power. You know, power is kind of an ambiguous term. You know, power will come upon you. Well, what I found out was that word power was a word that literally means hand. Hand. 1,300 times in the Bible, that same word translated power in that verse is translated as hand. I don't know why they translated it power there. It might not have made sense necessarily. But what the Lord impressed upon me was your tongue has a hand. Your tongue has a hand. And there's some things you need to reach out and grab hold of with your tongue, and some things you need to let go of with your tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that doesn't just mean that whether you live or you die, certainly that could affect things ultimately. But what about your manner of life? Are you going to live a life of health and strength and happiness? Reach out with the five fingers of your tongue and grab a hold of that. What God said about you. If He said I'm righteous, I'm going to reach out and grab hold of that with my tongue and talk righteousness, whether I feel like I'm righteous or not. If He said I'm healed and strong, whether I feel weak or not, He said, let the weak say I'm strong. I'm going to reach out with the hand of my tongue and grab hold of that. You know, He told us to let go of that word tired. Just quit talking that. That's just a word I let go of. Do I ever feel tired? Certainly I do, just like anyone else. But it's different than to say I'm so tired and to say, you know what? It's time to rest. It's time to rest. It's time to rest. Praise God. Your manner of life. What do you want to see and experience? What's the life you love? Grab it with the hand of your tongue and talk it. Praise God. What about your death? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, you hear so-and-so talk about this person died a horrible death. Not me! I'm going to live out my years in life and strength and health, and I'm going to go home in victory. I'm not going to die a horrible death. And you've got to answer those things. When you see these things on the news about horrible things happening, you've got to answer them and say, not me or my family. We abide in the secret place of the Most High. And we're protected and we're blessed. Amen. And you've got to make no bones about it. Because the devil's going to try to get you to be quiet. That's what he wants. He don't want you talking it. He wants his hand in your tongue. And grab a hold of your words. Hallelujah. And then you got to hold fast to it. What do you hold things with? Your hand. You got to take the hand of your tongue and hold fast to things because there's somebody, the devil, going to try to come take it out of your hand. Praise God. Your tongue will affect your marriage. It'll affect your kids, your job, your bank account, your health, relationships. And you know what? It's probably more important what you say about those relationships when they're not around.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I've got a son that lives in Huntsville. My youngest son. I don't get to see him as often as I'd like to, and I hope he's watching on live stream today. But you know what? We're made in the image and likeness of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Have we been taught that for years and years? We're made in the likeness and image of God. Isaiah 55 says that God sends out His Word, and it does not return to Him void, but it'll accomplish something.
Yes.
Well, if I'm made in His likeness and image, His image, I can do the same thing. So I can look at him and I say, Spencer, you be strong. You be blessed and favored.
Amen.
You be quickened. You be encouraged. You excel and you do well and you prosper in everything that you do.
Yes.
Praise God. And that word will not return to me void.
Amen.
He's married. He's been married for 5 years. I can look at his wife, who's my daughter now, and I say, Cassie, you be blessed in what you do. Every endeavor that you have, you excel and you do well and you be favored and you be promoted. And those words will not return to us void. Praise God. Amen. You know, Romans 4 says, very familiar verse, Romans 4:17, God calls those things to be not as though they were. I love the New English translation. Now, many, many times I'll quote other translations, and I know people, we have lots of translations, and it's not for me to decide doctrinally whether they're correct or not. That's for people that are way smarter than me. But I tell you what I look for when I read another translation is what grabs a hold of my spirit. Does it cause faith to rise up in me and I get excited about it? Praise God. So the New English translation of that verse says that the God who makes the dead alive, you know, there's some things in life, your life is dead that you can make alive. And it says He summons the things that do not yet exist as though they already did. He summons them. Now the word summons means an order to appear. When I'm calling for things that are not as though they were, I'm ordering them to appear. I'm acknowledging Him. I'm accepting what He said about me. I'm being thankful for it, and I'm not going to make any bones about it. Amen. Praise God. I'm calling myself strong, and I'm ordering it to appear. Amen. I'm so healthy and so strong. I have boundless energy. What's your, you know, He says, call us those things that be not as though they were. What's your not in life? What's not going well? Call it well. Call it strong. Call it healthy. Call it blessed. Amen. Melissa and I started doing this years ago. We, at the beginning of every year, we'd say 2019 will be the best year of our life in every area, and 2020 will be even better. We called it. We're ordering that to appear. Amen. There's a minister that I love to listen to, and he had this little phrase that he would use, especially when people would begin to say things like, you know, you're getting older and you're not as sharp as you used to be. So the Lord gave him this little phrase that says, I'm quick, I'm sharp, I'm bright, and I'm smart. I'm good looking, I'm very rich, and I'm a major blessing. I'm quick and sharp, I'm bright and I'm smart, I'm good looking, I'm very rich, and I'm a major blessing. Now the first couple times you say that, it might taste like dirt in your mouth. Especially the good looking part. But say it. Well, when I was dealing with this physical situation I was dealing with a while back, I said, Lord, I want something to go along with that, that regards my body. And so He gave me this. And so I would say, I'm quick and sharp, I'm bright and I'm smart, I'm good looking, very rich, and a major blessing. And then I would say, I'm fit and I'm trim. I'm muscular and I'm lean. I'm full of happiness and I'm full of peace. I've got a spring in my step. I'm full of energy and life. I don't lag behind and I feel good all the time. I'm healthy and strong and I live long and my youth is renewed like the eagle. Can you tell I've said that a time or two? But you know what? I've said it when I didn't feel like it. I've said it when it didn't look like it. Amen. What about favor? Praise God. Oh, we could talk about this one for an hour. Favor. You know, I'm in a sales job, and I've been doing that for many years, but I started a new job last spring, and even though it was with the same company, it was a little bit different type of work than I was doing. And there was times it could be frustrating because there were new responsibilities and new job descriptions that I had to do that I wasn't used to. And rather than getting frustrated, what I began to do was acknowledge the Lord. And over a period of time, as I acknowledged Him and prayed about it, the Lord just drop this little phrase down in my heart. I want you to say, you enjoy your job and you're really, really good at it. Amen. Well, you know what? Faith rose up in my heart. So I'd get out of the car every day in my territory and I'd open that door and say, I enjoy my job and I'm really, really good at it.
That's right.
And you know what? Over the last year and a half, I've gotten really, really good at it. Amen. As a matter of fact, my yearly review went very well. And I'm so thankful for that. Praise God. But see, I had to start talking that. You know, in a sales position, you know, a lot of times people don't want to see a salesperson coming. But I started saying, you know what? People love to see me coming. When I walk in the door, they got a smile on their face. And you know what? I've experienced over the last year and a half the most tremendous favor with people.
Amen.
If I'm trying to get into a place that the door's been shut, I drive by and go, you know what? I'm getting in that place. Those people like me right there. They like me. Just a quick testimony about acknowledging the Lord. There was something that our supervisors gave us to do, and sometimes they'll pile stuff on you, and there's a tendency to feel overwhelmed. But rather than talking overwhelmed, I talk about, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God, and I'll talk about His righteousness. So the other day, they gave us this thing to do, and I'd never done it before. So I didn't really know what to do with it, and they didn't really give us a whole lot of explanation. They just said, go do this. So I worked Cullman County, and I was up in my territory, and just as I was driving along, it's about a 30-minute drive from my home, just praying about it, acknowledging the Lord, encouraging myself that I'll know what to do. When I get up there, I'm going to know what to do. See, I didn't talk, don't know. I talked, I'm going to know. And as I got out of the car at the first place, the Lord impressed me, go see this person. Okay, well, there's the starting point. So I went to see that person, and that person was busy. And so I called the next person I was going to go see, and they said, well, she's in a meeting, and we don't know when she's going to be out. So I said, okay. So I thought, what do I do, Lord? And it's just hold steady. Well, that first person I went to see, I waited an hour to see them. And so when I went in to see her, she greeted me with a smile, because everybody smiles when I come in. Amen. And I told her what I needed. She said, I'll be glad to take care of that for you. I said, well, that was easy. Praise God. And so then the next person I needed to go to, the lady that was in the meeting, I walked down a couple of buildings to where she was, and guess who was standing at the front counter? She was standing right there. Amen. She said, well, hey, I remember you. What can I do for you? And I told her, she said, I'll be glad to do that for you. And then I had one more thing to do, and I deal with a lot of medical facilities, and nobody likes for you to come in at lunchtime, because that's their off time. It was about 10 minutes till 12, and I had a 5-minute drive to this next place, and I thought, oh, I'll just wait a little. I'll go get something. I'll come back. And I was just impressed. No, go now. And so I walked in that place at 5 minutes till 12, and I asked for the person. They said, well, she's sitting right there. And I walked in. She said, I've been meaning to call you. And I said, you did? What about? And she told me, and that's exactly what I went in to see her about. So within the space of 2 hours, I handled everything because the Lord just worked it out. You know, He's always setting us up for something good. He wants us to be in that right place at that right time to set us up for something good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To give us favor. You know, every year, and some of you that know me have heard me tell this before, but it bears repeating, that every year in the fall that we have our busiest time of our work, it's our busy season from about the middle of September through the end of the year. And so last year, Melissa and I were impressed. We went to Karis Bible College, and we went part-time the first 2 years. But we were impressed to go second year full-time and take the hybrid program. And we're so glad we did. Amen. But at that time, I was facing the busiest time of the year. And it's not just going to work every day. This is long hours, fast paced, something happening all the time, constant pressure, constant stuff being piled on. The minute you finish one thing, they give you 10 more things to do. It's that kind of stuff. And not for one day. It's for like 9 weeks. It's very busy. So we were going to take on full-time school in the middle of that. Well, also, two of us going to school full time is like a house payment. Praise the Lord. And so we began to pray about that. We acknowledged the Lord all summer while we were thinking about the next step, part-time, full-time, part-time, full-time. So as we approached the time, one day, I remember exactly where we were. We were riding toward downtown. We were almost a malfunction junction. And we both just looked at each other and said, we need to do the hybrid program. And I think part of it, we were thinking about the construction that was going to be going on downtown and trying to get to school here. We live in the north part of town, and sometimes with my work schedule, it would have been difficult. So we both just looked at it and just dropped in our heart. We're going to do it. Well, how are we going to do it? We're going to acknowledge the Lord. And so as we went along, we started thinking about, how am I going to have time to do all this? And so the Lord took me over that verse that says, you've got length of days and long life with wisdom. Well, who's my wisdom? Jesus is our wisdom. And He said, if you'll ask me about wisdom, I'll give it to you. So this is the wisdom He gave me. He said, you don't talk about not having any time. You don't talk about being overwhelmed. He said, you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of money. And you've got plenty of strength and energy to do everything you need to do. To overcome every challenge you face. To accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. Why? Because the greater one's in me. He will rise up in me and put me over. So we began to say that. Every morning we get up, I mean, before we did anything, we got plenty of time, we got plenty of money, we got plenty of strength and energy, because the greater one's going to rise up in us. Every problem that needs solving, we'll solve it. Every challenge we face, we'll overcome it. Everything we need to do, we'll do it. And there won't be a problem. And we'll have plenty of money and everything. Well, we also had to go on a mission trip. And we had to raise some money for that. So we begin to say ahead of time, Lord, we acknowledge you. The money will be there. And there'll not only be money for us, there'll be money for other people too. And if I'm not missing it, there was money for other people. And then we began to acknowledge him about the trip, because we had to come back and go to work. And everybody knows when you go on a mission trip, you're going to come back wrung out and rode hard and put up wet. Right? Everybody knows that, right? You're going to come back exhausted. Well, as we begin to pray about it and talk about it, the Lord said, don't say that. Say, it'll be the easiest thing you ever did, and you're going to come back refreshed and ready to go. Amen. So we came back, and I think it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We got into bed that night, and I had wisely taken the next day off from work. But then the following day, I had to hit it again. And you know what? We came back from that mission trip. We had a blast, and I could tell you a lot of details about what happened. We had a great time, an awesome trip with awesome people. We came back, got a little bit of rest, and the next day we hit it. We were so full of energy. It's like we never even left. Because we didn't talk all that stuff. See, there is that speaking. It's like the piercings of a sword. We could have took our tongue and cut all kind of holes in that mission trip. But we talked life. Yeah. We talked health and strength. Yeah. Well, in the midst of this time of busyness, every time I think about it, you know, I'd be at work and October comes. And we're busy. And the phone's ringing. My cell phone's ringing. The office phone's ringing. People are talking to me. I'd stop and I'd say, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of money. I've got plenty of strength and energy to do everything I need to do and overcome everything I need to overcome, solve every problem, because the greater one's in me.
That's right.
Can't tell you how many thousand times I've said that. But you know what? Our busy season ends technically at midnight on December the 7th every year. And I work till midnight every year. Sometimes I'll sign somebody up at 11:30. Why they wait 11:30, I don't know. But at midnight on December the 7th, 2018, I told my wife, I said, I was strong and I could have done it again. Started all over. That's how much strength I had. Because see, I wasn't talking, wore out. Now everybody, all my colleagues and coworkers, they were ready to go home and sleep for 2 or 3 days. But I talked strength in the middle of that. Praise God.
Amen.
And you know what? We didn't miss a class. As a matter of fact, we couldn't miss much, could we, Cynthia? The Lord, you know, that was one of the things that we were concerned about time, is that we had to be here every other Saturday. And you can only miss one in a term or you're kicked out. Well, I went to my boss and told her, and she said, whatever you need.
Wow.
Whatever you need. Had tremendous favor.
Yeah.
Because see, we've been talking favor and acknowledging the Lord for favor. And you know what? We made A's in our classes. We got everything done. And we graduated May the 19th. And we looked back and went, that just happened. That just happened. And you know what? We had plenty of money and plenty of strength and plenty of time. And you know what? I like to exercise, and I was acknowledging the Lord about that. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss all my workouts and gain 20 pounds during annual enrollment. Never missed a workout. He would always work it out for me where I could do it. Because we said we got plenty of time, plenty of strength, plenty of money. You praise God. See, we can call upon the power of God to help us. You know, there's something, like I said, there's somebody in you besides you. There's somebody on you too. There's somebody on you.
Amen.
And he's more powerful. So you've got to understand that there's a force on you that's more powerful than anything you face. Because there was a man named Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. And 7 weeks later, he stood up to the same people that crucified Jesus and looked in their eyes and said, you crucified the Lord of glory, who God raised from the dead. Not 7 years later, 7 weeks later, he looked at the same people that could have killed him. And he was bold. And he made no bones about it. There's somebody on you. And there's somebody in you to strengthen you and give you power. Praise God. To give you efficiency. Amen. And his grace is sufficient. You know, we love that verse that says that when Paul was dealing with the thorn in the flesh, God told him, my grace is sufficient. And religion will try to make you think that God was trying to say to him, just grin and bear it. But that word, you know what that word sufficiency means? It means possessed of unfailing strength. He said, Paul, my unfailing strength is going to put you over. And it's adequate. It's enough. Other meanings are it'll lift you. It'll raise barriers. It'll ward off things. And that's when later on in the same verse, Paul said this. When he was talking about that, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that's depending on God right there. And he said, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now, most of us don't think about glorying in our infirmities. We don't like infirmities. But he said that the power, and that's the same word, dunamis, of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ resting upon me will lift me out of anything I'm facing. Praise God. Amen. We just need to acknowledge the Lord. We accept it. We give thanks for it. And we make no bones about it. A couple more meanings of that word dunamis talks about inherent power residing in the thing by virtue of its nature. Oh, we have his nature now. We've got strength and power just because of the nature that's in us. We're children of God. Ephesians 2 says this, that at one time we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're not like everybody else. We have a new nature. We're new creatures. And we're children of God. Amen. And then the last one that I'll bring out is that word dunamis not only means strength and power and ability, but it also means this. It means moral power and excellence of soul. Oh, how I love that phrase, excellence of soul. You know, the Holy Spirit, our helper, not only will strengthen us and bless us and give us power and ability to do what we need to do, but He'll help us make good choices.
Amen.
There's going to be things that come in us every day that's going to try to get us to compromise our values. And it usually is tied to some kind of financial gain or the thought of some kind of financial loss or some kind of what's in it for me outcome. You know, what's in it for me is not a Christian philosophy. What's in it for others? What's in it for Him? And we face these kind of things all the time. And one example that I can give you is, in my sales job, there are other agents that I deal with all the time. And we're all dealing with all kind of people calling us. Hundreds of people calling us all the time. And so we have protocols to decide if a prospect belongs to one agent or another because we get a commission, obviously. And no, everybody wants to make their commission, right? That's what you do the job for. But we have certain protocols to make sure that we don't take someone else's prospect. Well, you can look at that one of two ways. You can look at that and check off every box to try to figure out how you can rationalize to take that person from that other agent and say that one's mine. Or you can look at it like, I'm going to check all those boxes to see if I can make sure that that person keeps it. Because what I want for me, I want for everybody else. But see, that competitive mindset is a scarcity mindset. But an abundance mindset says, I want everybody to win. I want to have my best year, but I want you to have your best year. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, all this really is about is just a living and breathing relationship with the Father.
Amen.
Everything we're doing, all of our ways, we're acknowledging Him. We know Him. We know He loves us. We know He lives in us. We know He cares about us. And so we just acknowledge Him. Everything we do.